And I was trying to think of a good story, like something good to say to come up here and explain him. But when it got down to it, there's just no words that can explain Leon Kelly.
Hey, you guys, I am Leon Kelly. When I first got asked to do this, I was a little nervous and a little iffy on it. I didn't know if I wanted to get up here in front of you guys and just speak. I didn't know what to say, what to do, anything really. But I just decided to give my testimony. It's nothing big, nothing real extravagant. It's just my life, and I'm here to share it with you guys. Now, I was in church when I was little, in elementary school, and I do remember being in Sunday school. It was a good time, and I do believe that that had a big impact on my life, actually. I believe my life could have been in a much worse place if it wasn't for that, and you'll see why. Now, by middle school, I was out of church. My family was not really coming regularly, and I wasn't coming ever. And by my freshman year in high school, I was 14 years old, I started getting into drugs and experimenting with stuff like that. Now, all my friends were doing that as well. And that year, I did drugs a lot. I was around people who did that. My friends were experimenting with coke. They were experimenting with alcohol. They were doing tons of things that they shouldn't have been doing. I didn't look like this. I was a completely different person at that point in my life. I had a lip piercing. It was, looking back at it now, I had to have been kind of freaky to some people because of just how I looked and how I acted. But that's all in the past, and I am glad for that. Jesus, ooh. Now, that year, that was my freshman year, and that was just me, you know, starting my high school career, trying to figure things out with who I was and what I was doing in life. I didn't do a very great job. I was kind of just coasting along, doing whatever I wanted. And then sophomore year came around, and it was even worse. I was coasting even more. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just in school. Sophomore year, I would get high every single day. I would get high before school, come home, get high again. And then as I was coming down, I would get high again. And I would do that every single day. Sometimes I would get high before school, come to school. My friend's like, hey, want to go smoke again? I was, yeah, because that was just who I was at the time. And I didn't think much of it at all because I didn't have anybody really to tell me what not to do and what to do. It's really strange looking back at it now. Again, it's just really strange at who I was. And it's like looking at a different person. Now, my friends were even worse. I didn't do much. I would hang out with people. I would smoke a lot, and I didn't really do anything against other people, but I was really good friends with people who would go out stealing from cars, doing Adderall, coke. They would steal things and sell things just so they could get high on acid and Molly, which is essentially ecstasy. And I was just surrounded by all these people. I was getting influenced by all these people that weren't great influences, obviously. But I believe because of the morals that were installed in me when I was in Sunday school and from my father and mother when I was younger, it really helped me to stay away from harder drugs, stay away from stealing from people, and stay away from harming others. Because if I would have gotten into that, it would have been a whole different story. And I thank God a lot, like very often, that I never got into that and that I was delivered from that lifestyle, from being surrounded by people like that. Right now, I'm surrounded by a family. You guys are my family. I have so many people next to me that are, I'm closer to people now than I ever could have even imagined before. It's incredible the type of love that is in here. Jesus is in here. Jesus is love, and we have him. That is everything. It's everything to me, and I just... I would have never even imagined being at a place like this. I wouldn't say I was suffering with depression because depression is medical, but I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know what to do with my life. I was sad all the time. I would just be fake all the time, and I couldn't do anything about it. And now I'm a completely different person. I am free from that. I am free from the world. Jesus has delivered me, and he had made me such a better person. He has brought me so much, and he is the most important thing in my life. And I don't know what else to say. It's just, thank you, Jesus, for what he has done for me. Thank you, guys.
If you guys don't know Leon, he's an amazing young man. We love him so much. I'm up here to introduce our next five spot, and most of you may not know her. She's pretty new to our youth group, but she has jumped right in. She's amazing. I love her, Cassidy Johnson. Okay, well, I was asked to speak for tonight, and like she said, I don't know many of you, so I was like, sure, why not? But I decided to give my testimony as well. It's, not one of the worst things that have happened in many people's lives, but, some other people have had it a little easier, I guess you could say. Growing up, I was in church. I grew up in a apostolic church, and about 4 years ago, we moved down here. And my family, we went to the Sun Prairie Church, and my dad was really into church. He's a preacher. He was our youth leader. He did a lot. And all of a sudden, 3 years ago, we just stopped. I didn't know why. No one would tell me why. I just wasn't allowed to go to church. I wasn't allowed to hang out with any friends from church. I wasn't allowed to say anything about church. My family started, just doing things that most people in the apostolic church wouldn't agree with. And things that I didn't agree with because I grew up, taught those things. And it just kind of hit me all of a sudden that they were no longer there the way I was. They were no longer for me in what I believed. And they started pressuring me into those kind of things, just like wearing clothes that I didn't feel comfortable in, that were immodest, hanging out with the wrong type of people, listening to the wrong kind of music, just stuff that wouldn't bring me closer to God. But I just kept praying, and I was like, God, I know you have my life's in your hands. And so I just I knew he was always there for me, even if my parents weren't. And so, after a while, just kind of got used to it, kind of got in the flow of things that I was the only one that was still in my family that kind of did what I was taught doing. There were times where I was terrified of going home because my parents were so against what I stood for, what I believed in. I never wanted to be home. I can definitely say if it wasn't for some certain friends, I wouldn't be here today. They were someone that I could go and talk to in a time that I didn't have anyone to talk to about this kind of stuff. And somewhere that I could go that I wouldn't have to be home, that I wouldn't have to sit around the bad influences, that I would have to, sit there and be told that I'm doing something wrong or that I need to change my ways. I wasn't allowed to do anything with the church. I wasn't allowed to talk to anyone. After a while, I felt like God wasn't listening to me. Of course, I prayed, and I prayed and did stuff that tried to make me closer to God. And after a while, I was feeling like you could almost say depressed. I felt like God didn't even care about me, that he didn't love me, that he just forgot about me. And I started getting to the point where I was like, well, no one loves me, so I might as well just end my life. I'm not comfortable at home. I'm not allowed to go anywhere that I am. What's the point of living anymore if there's nothing looking forward to it? I got to the point where I knew what medicine was in our house that I could take to end my life so that I wouldn't have to be here and feel the pain that I did. But thankfully I had those certain friends that I still did talk to, that I was able to go to, and they didn't even know what I was going through. Obviously they knew that I wasn't in church, but they didn't know the deep pain that I was in. And it was just someone that I could go to that would make me smile and wouldn't even try. So because of them, I started praying again and putting my hands in God and just saying, God, if this is in your will, you're gonna let me start going to church again. You're gonna help my family out. You're gonna bring me people that bring me closer to you. And before all, like during the time where I wasn't going to church, I wouldn't talk to my family at all. I'd go to school, come home, stay in my room, or go to my friend's house the next day. It's the same thing over and over. I wouldn't talk to any of them. They weren't people that I felt like loved me. So after a while of praying, I was starting to feel comfortable in my own home again. I was able to go upstairs and talk with my family. There were things that I did. Most of my family lives up north, and they're all still in church, and I was able to go to church with them or go to link rallies and just hang out with youth and young people and people that love God and knew what I was going through that could help me out in this situation. And that definitely helped me, because it was like, okay, God's hearing me. He's allowing me to at least go to this, and I was very thankful for that. About a year and a half ago, I asked if I could go to church again, and I kind of just got shut down. I was told that I wasn't exactly told why. I was sat down for 2 hours being yelled at because I asked. So I didn't dare ask again. I didn't ask again. I was like, well, God, if this is going to happen, you're going to do it in your way, because I'm done trying, because I just felt like I was kept getting beat up. But I kept praying, and I kept putting my life in God's hands. And about a year ago, my friend asked if I could just go to the link rally. And that's a really good thing for youth to go to, because it's somewhere where you can feel God's presence and that you can be with young people that understand what you're going through or that are just there for you in a time of need, just something that you can go out and do. And my friend asked my dad if I could go, and she didn't even get halfway through the question, and she told her no, that wasn't allowed, that we don't believe in this anymore, and that's not going to happen. And that was a big thing that tried and stopped me, but it didn't. The devil didn't get in my way, because I had God on my side to help me through this. So then this past year at Winter Youth, I just happened to be up there spending time with my grandma, and all of a sudden she's like, Cass, do you want to go to Winter Youth? I was like, well, yeah, but my dad's not going to let me. And she's like, well, let me ask. I'll just call him up. And I was like, okay, you can do that. So as she was on the phone, I was praying the entire time. It was like, God, I'm going here to praise you. Yes, of good fellowship with my friends, but I'm solely here for you. And when she got off the phone, she's like, well, looks like I'm taking you to Winter Youth this year. And so after that, I had a great experience there. That's a wonderful time. It's a great place to be, and it's a great revival for the youth to go to. But after Winter Youth, every single dream I had had up until a month ago always involved me being in church, doing a type of ministry, singing up on the platform, just doing anything, bringing me closer to God and being with God. And I was like, well, God seems to be hearing my prayers. He seems to be giving me clues of me being able to go again. So I kept praying, and I was starting to be able to go to little things that churches that CGC had. They had some bonfires that I was able to go to, and I was able to meet some wonderful youth that are great friends now. And so I kept going to those, and after a while, I asked my mom, I was like, hey, can I go to church tonight? My dad had no idea that I was going to church. I went to like 3 services without him knowing, and I went and asked my mom again if I could come on a Sunday morning. And she said that I had to ask my dad, and I will tell you, I was terrified of that. I did not want to ask him, because I just kind of figured, okay, I'm not going. But I asked him anyway, and he said that I could go, which really shocked me. But then the thing that really got me was that he said that I could start coming regularly, and that was just mind-blowing for me. And so I started coming here because you guys are wonderful people, and the presence of God is very strong in this place, and I'm here to worship God and make friends and be an example for people. And I just thank God for him being with me through all that time, all that struggle that I went through. And in the end, I thank God for putting me through all that, because I came out a much stronger person than I used to be.
What awesome testimonies. Nothing is more rewarding than being a youth pastor and sitting over there and seeing the young people in your youth group shining for God. That's our theme this year, shine. Letting the light of God shine in them, sharing their testimonies of what God's done for them. If you look across the church in big print all over the place, testimonies of some of our young people, what God has done for them in their lives. It's just so awesome and so touching to be able to see that. That when I was that age, I wasn't even close to getting it. I wasn't even close to caring about it. But they're getting it. And they're being used of God. Leon, my hats are off to you, man. I'm so proud of you for making the decision that you made before it was too late. Before it was too late. Cassie, I'm proud of you. And that just goes to show that God truly does care about the desires of your heart. And he will give you the desires of your heart, especially if the most innermost desire of your heart is to be closer to him and to be able to come to church and worship him. That's awesome. Praise God. Have you ever felt like, man, have you ever felt like you were just on the run? How many of you have felt that way? Like you were just in defense mode constantly, like the devil is just chasing you all over the place. And it's like, you know that you can be victorious and you know that God has victory for you, but it's just one little thing after another. And you just, man, it's like, I felt like I had to shake the devil off of my foot when I came through the door tonight, because it's, you know, this week, my wife and I had gotten sick. We got like kind of a stomach virus type thing right out of the blue. And it's like, man, we are so sick. Here's Extreme Days coming up, preparing for service. And oh, here we are. Yesterday, we both called in. I called in sick to work. And then she came an hour after she went to work. She came home just sick. It's like, what in the world's going on? And then, you know, you come to church here tonight and sitting out under the carport. That's our car. It's dead. It won't start. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm not saying any of that to get pity from you guys tonight. Like, oh, man. But, man, that's just how life goes sometimes. And
And I was thinking about being a kid and having the girls chase me and my buddies and my brothers around. And we all thought they had cooties, you know, and you'd run to the clubhouse. And the clubhouse had a big sign on the top of it and it said, "No girls allowed." You guys remember that? No girls allowed. Girls had cooties and the girls would chase you all around. And I felt like the devil was chasing me around tonight. But when I walked through the doors of Calvary Gospel Church, it was like the angels were holding a big sign that said, "No devils allowed." Amen. Aren't you glad that you're in the clubhouse tonight? That whatever you came in here with is out there in the parking lot. It can't come in here and follow you here. The problems that you've been facing and the lies and the manipulation and the things that the devil's trying to tell you, it stays out there. It can't come in here. It can't come in here. You're in the clubhouse. Amen. Tonight I'd like to speak for a few moments on the topic called to shine. Would you pray with me tonight? Lord, we give you all glory and honor in this place tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for these young people. God, the work that you're doing in their lives. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just continue to have your way in this place tonight. God, I pray that you would touch me right now, Lord. Lord, help me to preach your word, God, and to open all of our hearts and our minds in this place tonight to receive what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. We read in Matthew 5:14 through 16. If you could all turn there or divert your eyes to the screen or pull out your iPads. "Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Making decisions in the dark can lead to some regrettable consequences. Back in the days before electricity, a tight-fisted old farmer was walking with his hired man to task for carrying a lighted lantern when he went to call on his best girl. "Why," he exclaimed, "when I went courting, I never carried one of them things. I always just went in the dark." The hired hand replied, "Yes, but look what you got." Some people change their ways when they see the light, and other people when they see the negative results of the choices that they make in the dark. One of the effects that light has is light removes darkness. Light reveals danger. Light illuminates our paths. Amen. These things are expected on Christian influence in the world. Darkness masks imperfection. When you look at something in the dark, it doesn't look as bad. That's why the rule of thumb is that you never buy a car at night. Rick Wells will attest that, right? Never buy a car at night because you can see the shimmery paint job, but you can't see the rusty cab corners hiding down underneath. So you see that light reveals flaws and imperfections hidden by the darkness. I'm a detail manager at a shop here in town that does truck accessories and detailing, and you think you got a car totally perfect. You work, you spend time on it, cleaning it up, and then you pull it outside and you look around and you're like, "I got like 2 more hours left on this thing." And you realize that you got a whole lot more work to do, and that's why it's so important that we as Christians are constantly allowing the light of God to shine on us and reveal any possible wrongs in our lives. We are called to shine, called to reflect the light of Jesus Christ to a world. And that's why the psalmist writes, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me to the way that is everlasting." John 1:9, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Jesus is the real light of the world. Amen? Jesus is the real light of the world. In John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We are reflected light. The sun is the source of light, and the moon reflects light from the sun to the earth. Jesus is our source of light. Amen. Jesus is our source of light, and we are to reflect that source of light to others. Amen. Our lives are to reflect the mind and the will of God. The lifestyle that we live, the things and the actions and the way that we talk and the way that we carry ourselves, it should be imperative to us. And we should constantly be reevaluating ourselves and our lives. Is my life reflecting Jesus Christ? Are my actions reflecting Jesus Christ? Are my mannerisms reflecting the mannerisms of Jesus Christ? If they're not, then we're not doing what we're called to do. We're not being who we're called to be. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Amen. Ephesians 5:8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The light will expose what is not truth. This is why Jesus tells us to follow him, and why we are told to be holy, and why we are told to do his will and obey his commandments. We are the Jesus that people see in the world. We are the Jesus that people see in the world. They will base their thoughts about God, and they will base their thoughts about church by the way that we conduct ourselves as Christians, by the way that we carry ourselves, and by the kind of light that we reflect into the world. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love God, we're going to do what his word says. That's crazy to think. I was in prayer not too long ago about a certain topic, something that I was fighting with God about. And God simply said, if you love me, you do what I ask. It was that simple. I had to really think about it and really pray about it. It's like, Lord, man, that hits me home. That hits right at home for me. Because it made me really think, do I love God as much as I think I do? It's kind of a weird question to ask, but you know, if I was wrestling so much with it, and right then and there I was like, yes, Lord, I love you, I just give it up. If we love God with all of our hearts and all of our minds, then we'll just do what he asks. We'll do what his word says for us to do. It's not going to be a problem. It's not going to be a challenger. It's not going to be something that we fight tooth and nail over. We need to reevaluate ourselves in that area. Is there something that you're fighting with God over that he's asking you to do or asking you to change or trying to mold you, and you won't be molded in that direction? Do you love God as much as you say you do? Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We read Matthew 5, verse 15 again. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. A city on a hill. A lamp on a lampstand. As a Christian, we cannot be ashamed with our relationship with God. When you go to high school or you college students, when you go to college this year, or when you go to work even throughout the week, do you hide your light in a book bag or a locker? Or when you go to work, do you cover it up with a uniform? Or maybe do you leave it in the glove box of your car when you go in? Or do you let your light shine in every single aspect of your life, in the workplace, in a circle of friends, in the community, at school, at sports events? For you that are involved in sports in high school, do you let your light shine in the locker room? After game night, are you letting your light shine all the time? It is the duty of the church to stand out. Amen? We can all agree on that. As a Christian, we cannot be ashamed. It's our duty to stand out, not for the prominence sake or not for self-gain, but for the spreading of the gospel, to shine the light into the world. Jesus proceeded here to show his hearers that why they were given the opportunity to hear was not just to hear it, but was to participate in the spreading of the gospel. It was not because of their place of birth or because of the way that they looked. God was blessing them with the gospel so they could turn around and then bless others with the gospel. Amen? There's an old story of a lighthouse keeper who worked on a rocky stretch of coastline, who received his new supply of oil once a month to keep the light burning. Not being far from the shore, he had quite a few guests, and one night a woman from the village begged some oil to keep her family warm. Another time a father asked for some to use in his lamp. Another time some to lubricate a wheel. Since all the requests seemed legitimate, the lighthouse keeper tried to please everyone and gave to them all. Toward the end of the month, he noticed that the supply of oil was very low, and soon it was gone, and the beacon light went out. That night, several ships were wrecked, and lives of sailors were lost. When authorities investigated, the man was very repentant. To his excuses and pleading, their reply was, "You were given the oil for one purpose, to keep the light burning." You were given the oil to keep the light burning. We can't afford to waste our light. Amen. We are called to shine for all the world to see. Every time we let something come in between us and our purpose, we get dimmer. Every time we put more ambition or focus on the things of this world than we do on God, we waste our light. We look at media, and every single year at events like Senior Camp and events like Youth Congress and Youth Week, we talk about media. It seems like something that always gets touched on. And we talk about Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. And I keep wondering, why do we talk about it every single time? And every single time we talk about it, everybody agrees on it, that it's becoming an issue, but we still have to talk about it the next year around. Why is that? I'll let everyone on a little secret here. People used to live healthy lives before Facebook. It's true. People used to live, come on, people used to survive without cell phones. Kind of crazy to think about. That there is no rule written down that says you cannot live a life without Instagram or Facebook or Twitter and not be able to have an eventful life. There's no rule that says that. You can go to the mall or go downtown and you watch people just walking around and they're walking around not even paying attention to anything around them, but they got their phones out, or they got their iPads out, and they got their headsets on, and they got a cord going in, and they're plugged in. They're completely transfixed on their media devices. They're completely zoned out to the whole world around them, and it's like they're in a trance. Their whole world and everything that they're doing revolves around that one piece of media, that electronic. They can't get off of it. Look, I'm not preaching against cell phones, and I'm not speaking against iPads or Facebook accounts either, because all of those things can be useful tools. They can be. They can all be useful tools. But a gun can be a useful tool. But when it's abused, it becomes a deadly weapon. And how much time that we spend on our lives on Snapchat and Pinterest and Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or Netflix or YouTube versus how much time do you spend in prayer, reading God's Word, spreading God's Word? If A is greater than B, then your light's getting dimmer. If you spend more time on social media than you do reading the Word of God, your light's getting dimmer. If you spend more time thinking about the next update that's going to pop up on your phone from Facebook than you do talking to your friends about God, or thinking about the next church service, or praying about the next youth event, your light's getting dimmer. You're wasting some of that oil. I was told by a young man when I overheard some questionable music that he was listening to that it was just entertainment. When 12-year-old singer Willow Smith was interviewed about her new controversial video for her new single titled Summer Fling, where the preteen sings about casual relationships and sexual intercourse, she replied, "It's just entertainment. It's just entertainment." What are we endorsing and what are we promoting in our daily lives? We need to spend a lot more time thinking about the messages that are behind the songs and the messages that are behind the movies and what actor is playing what role and what it's promoting. I'm serious. We got tons of people that watch shows like Glee, a show that, without a question of a doubt, is promoting homosexuality across the board. What are we promoting? What are we liking? Every time you click that like button and it pops up on your Facebook page, that shows the whole world that you promote that in their eyes. When I go onto somebody's Facebook page and I see that something that they really enjoy to watch is America's Next Top Model, American Idol, 16 and Pregnant, Glee, that tells me something about that person. They could love God. They could really be striving to be a better Christian. But if I don't know them and I look and that's what I see, what kind of light are we shining? What kind of light are we shining? Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." How does the light radiate? Do we go up to somebody and just tell them I'm a Christian? The light is radiated through our example and our good works. Amen. It's one thing to hear a message coming across the pulpit, but it's a totally different thing to see the message lived out in your life. To be that example. Amen. A newsman, Clarence W. Hall, followed American troops through Okinawa in 1945. He and his Jeep driver came upon a small town that stood outside, out as a beautiful example of a Christian community. And he wrote this: "We had seen other Okinawan villages down at the heels of despairing. By contrast, this one has shone like a diamond in a dung heap. Everywhere we were greeted by smiles and dignified bows, and proudly the old men showed us their spotless homes, their terraced fields, and their storehouses and granaries, their prized sugar mill halls." Hall said that he saw no jails and no drunkenness, and it seemed to be that couples were staying together in that village, as on the contrary to the other villages that he had seen. While he was in the village, he led two elderly townspeople. He was told that an American missionary had come there 30-some years earlier. And while he was in the village, he led two elderly townspeople to Jesus Christ and left them with a Japanese Bible. And these new believers studied the scriptures, and they studied the word, and they started leading fellow villagers to Jesus. And Hall's Jeep driver said he was amazed at the difference between this village and the others around it. He remarked, "This is what comes out of only a Bible and a couple of old guys who want to live like Jesus Christ." Jesus rebuked the Pharisees on several occasions for attempting to let their own light shine. Matthew 6:1-2. "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that ye may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." In other words, what they were doing was meant to be something to glorify God, but in the process, they were seeking glorification for themselves. They were seeking the praise of men. They wanted their own light to be seen. They weren't seeking to be a reflection of God's light and so forth. They were rebuked for that. 1 Peter 2:11-12. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Ephesians 2:10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him." Amen. The proper motivation and the proper motive to influence us is not simply that we may be seen, but that our Heavenly Father is glorified. We don't do the things that we do for others to see us. We don't dress the way that we dress for ourselves to be acknowledged. We don't walk the way we walk and talk the way we talk and carry ourselves the way we carry ourselves so that men can see us and the good works that we are doing. It's to glorify God. It's so that they can see the God that's in us. It's so that the God that's in us can be reflected to the world. So that they see the difference in us. When they want to change, when they want something more out of life. Leon, when you wanted something more out of life, you knew where to come. You knew where to come. People know where God is. People know a holy person when they see them and how they carry themselves. You can tell. You can see an apostolic woman in the grocery store, you know. You just know. The way that they carry themselves, the way that they act. Amen. Our light should be a light that is reflected from God across the world and back to God. People need to know that what we do for the glory of God. Amen. And I would like at this time for our musicians to come, please. Jesus' name. Imagine a world without light. Imagine complete and total darkness. No sun, no moon, no stars, no electricity. How would you see? How would you find your way if everything just went black? How lost would you be? It's easy to take light for granted when it's shining on you. There's a world full of people who are wandering aimlessly through the darkness, just looking for some light to illuminate their path. Are you shining? Are you living a life that is a reflection of the light of God? Is God illuminating your life to shine in the world around you? We are called to be the light in the darkness of this world. Now more than ever. Now more than ever. We're living in the last days. We could say it till we're blue in the face, but I believe that with all my heart and all my soul that right now we are living in the last days. Now more importantly than ever, to let your light shine. When the world comes against you and shows you opposition, let your light shine. When your friends are going one direction, shine in the other direction. Be the example. Be the light. We got to lead these people to the light. We can't afford to get caught up in the conversations that we know aren't right. We can't afford to get caught up in the behavior and the recreational activity on a day-to-day basis that we know is not right. When you go out and you do some of the things you do you feel your light getting dimmer? Or are you shining all the time?